To them, beautiful was to be worshipped, when a lot of times, beauty was to be feared, at least in the immortal realm.
I wish I could still hear your thoughts, Cassius whispered. And I'm sorry for getting carried away. I simply...
He shrugged.
I wanted to taste.
Was it worth nearly freezing to death? I asked. He chuckled darkly, then kissed me again.
Yes.
Good answer. He moved me toward the fire, grabbing a blanket in the process. Though I wasn't cold, I knew it was about chivalry, nothing else. He was covering me, though he stayed beautifully shirtless as he sat on the floor opposite me.
Jealous, Cassius answered. I won't go into details, but the issue now stands. Dark ones have duty first, the curse of being both human and angel, second, and then lastly they have one of the worst human emotions, I should think.
Sadness?
Loss. As if placed in a giant maze but never told the way out. We serve, we do our duty, we serve some more, and are never promised mates, never promised a life outside of the duty we are given. While our human counterparts live and are able to die, and the immortals we watch over have mates, children. We watch. Always.
Cassius cursed.
We watch.
My Dark One has never made it? Never had a family?
No.
He snapped.
To mate with a Dark One is choosing to take upon yourself thousands of years' worth of pain. To know a Dark One is to know darkness. Why would I, or anyone else, want to wish that upon someone I care about? Besides, two Dark Ones could very well destroy one another, and then where would we be?
War, I guessed.
Most likely with each other, yes.
He stood, his body moving with a fluidity that I didn't realize I'd missed.
That's enough for this evening.
His cheeks flushed red.
I apologize for taking liberties. At first it was to get you to control the fire.
So what happened? I hid my smile behind my hand. Cassius looked heavenward.
My humanity took complete control and decided it would be in both of our best interests to get naked.
I burst out laughing while Cassius smiled blindingly in my direction. You know, I held out my hand as he helped me to my feet. You aren't so bad at this human thing.
Oh, really?
His eyebrows shot up.
I'm cranky, constantly starving, nearly tried to kill your pet bird, and can hardly think of anything except your breasts when you bend over. And I'm doing good. I'd hate to see what I was like if I was doing horrible.
He thought about my breasts. Little tingles of excitement darted over me, creating an exquisite ache in those breasts. I cupped his chin. I like you like this.
Like how?
He covered my hand with his mouth was so close again, just a few more inches and we'd be touching. This, I said again, just like this.
I'm holding you.
I know. The flames near the fireplace went higher as I kissed him softly on the mouth. If I told you I loved you, would you believe me? His eyes closed.
If I told you it was forbidden, would you stop?
A frigid cold spread throughout my body, slamming me into my chest as darkness descended between us like a thick blanket.
To love a Dark One is to invite certain death,
a voice whispered, just as I jolted awake in my bedroom.
Chapter 23 Cassius. Her body was spread across mine, chilling me to the bone. Though I would never admit it out loud lest she move. And the last thing I wanted was for her to move her leg even a fraction to the left or right. There, nearly on top of me, that's where I needed her, where I wanted her. Dark Ones didn't typically sleep, so I knew she must be simply relaxing while she let me sleep, though it didn't explain the way she was laying across me. Safe. She muttered. It's ridiculous, right? That I feel safer in your arms than any other. Yet you wouldn't stand a chance against a man with a gun, let alone a demon. Stephanie raised her head, her eyes swirling with specks of white, as she reached for my hand. I held it, my warmth and her ice meeting against our palms. How long did I sleep? I changed the subject. 12 hours, she whispered. I got tired of waiting for you, so I went downstairs to watch movies with Genesis, since she hasn't been feeling very well. She frowned. If I see a future of someone, do I tell them? Whose future are we talking about? Stephanie swallowed, her eyes darting away from mine. Genesis. Her labor won't be easy, Cassius. For centuries, women have survived it all the same. Have a little faith. Her head whipped back.
Faith?
Yes. I licked my lips. Believe in something that has not yet come to pass. Belief that regardless of the circumstances, we can still expect the best possible outcome in life. Is that the human side speaking? The one who never loses hope? I smiled as a comforting warmth spread through my chest. Yes, I think it is.
I like it.
Sometimes, hope is all we have. I frowned as I said it. And even if we had knowledge of the future, would we truly do anything differently? I should like to think so. But knowing humanity as I do, they would still squander each and every moment, unable to fully grasp the realization that each second that ticks by is another gift that they have been given. A gift given only because of great sacrifice by not only their ancestors, but ours.
12 hours of sleep turned you into a philosopher, I think.
Stephanie mused, brushing my dark hair away with the back of her hand. Her ice-cold fingertips cooled my forehead. I kept them there and closed my eyes as her hand shook.
Your dream,
she started, while I tried to keep my breathing even.
Did you mean it?
Which part? Her eyes searched mine.
If you were allowed to love me, would you?
I opened my mouth, just as the door burst open. Ethan made his way inside, took in our comfortable state, and shook his head.
I don't have time to address whatever the hell this is,
he pointed to us.
Because it seems like our little pet in the dungeon won't stop screeching until he sees you.
Ethan sighed, his eyes flashing with irritation.
He's chained. He can't hurt you in your current state. It's probably best to see what you can get out of him.
Come with me. I stood as dizziness took over, and a growing hunger made its presence known.
Damn it. I need food first.
Ethan smirked.
I don't envy your human appetite.
You eat blood, I fired back. I don't envy yours.
Blood tastes like...
His eyes flashed green.
Easy, Stephanie raised her hand. No need to orgasm in the middle of the room.
Ethan scoffed.
Hardly.
Stephanie quickly put on a pair of boots and a sweatshirt and turned toward me.
Should you, put on clothes?
Clothes? I frowned, then looked down. Completely naked. I'd stripped the human body bare of any stitch of clothing.
Why the hell didn't anyone say anything?
I roared, grabbing at my clothes with numb-as-hell hands and jerking them on. Ethan held up his hands.
I thought you knew.
Stephanie burst out laughing.
I assumed you knew since you're the one who stripped yourself.
I did? She nodded.
The minute you woke up from your dream, you were burning up.
Frowning, I felt my own forehead, not that it would do any good. In fact, I still felt hot. So damn hot. Maybe the dizziness was coming from the heat. Ethan was at my side in a flash, gripping my arm, still as a statue. Within seconds he pulled back.
Your blood, he frowned. It's hot.
Are you saying?
I couldn't even utter it.
That I have... a fever?
I'm saying you're sick.
Ethan nodded.
Yes. Damn it! I kicked my foot against the floor. One body. What the hell do humans do all the day? Walk around in bubble wrap?
Hey, he knows what bubble wrap is. Alex stepped into the room. Progress?
Zapping Alex with a sheet of ice had just jumped up to the first thing I'd do if my power was ever restored.
Mason's waiting in the kitchen with Genesis. Better hurry if you want any food, big guy.
I think I was the big guy he was referencing.
Genesis is eating for three.
Breakfast hadn't helped the dizziness, and by the time I made it down into the cold, wet dungeon, I felt like I'd been transported back to a dark time, a time I'd rather forget, a time where I used to help torture the worst sort of immortals and humans alike, the ones who'd tried to overthrow us through a deadly alliance that should have never been.
How?
I roared, slamming timber into the castle wall. It crumbled around his lithe body as horns protruded from his head. He stood on shaky legs.
Wouldn't you like to know?
You cannot simply give an immortal's essence, his blood, to a human. You know what happens.
Oh, I know.
His smile was arrogant, as fangs pressed onto his bottom lip, drawing black oil-like blood.
And soon, you will too.
I barked out a laugh. Do not test me, demon. I will destroy everything you hold dear with my pinky finger. Push me, and I'll make you wish for death. As if I amused him, he smiled wider, harder.
Oh.
To prove my point, I slammed an icicle through the air, impaling him against the castle wall. He laughed. I shot another, and another. I'm sorry. Does that tickle?
You don't even know, do you?
He spat.
You think you're the last. You think you're all powerful. I wonder what you will do.
He whispered.
When you discover the truth.
Enough! Sauriel appeared, slamming his feet against the ground. Release him, Cassius. But he will be punished. Sauriel finished. Most of his followers were killed in the destruction of the city. And as you know, we cannot simply kill him for doing something he claims he didn't know was illegal. Every immortal knows the rules, I yelled, raising my voice an octave. Sauriel lifted his large hand as a single black feather fell to the ground, creating a hole at his feet. And for his punishment, he will serve time underground without food, water, or light. 1,000 years should suffice. Timber's eyes widened.
You cannot do this to me. Do you know who I am? I am the son of the...
Silence! Sauriel screamed, sending Timber into the hole. Then he closed it up with a flick of his wrist and turned. Don't you have work to do, Cassius? The dungeon walls looked eerily like the ones I'd chained Timber to so long ago. You gonna make it? Ethan asked under his breath. If this is too difficult...
Ethan!
I barked his name. I mean this exactly how it sounds. Shut the hell up before I find a steak and garlic. Ha! He slapped me on the back. I love your jokes. I'll impale you with wood. Don't think I won't try. It would tickle. It would amuse me greatly, yes. Once we reached the bottom of the stairs, the chains came into view. Two attached to John's feet, and two more attached to his arms. So, John said, without lifting his head,
you've brought the Immortal King. Finally.
Swallowing back my fear, I stood to my full height and nodded my head to Ethan. Drain him. John's head snapped As his hands jerked against the chains, already black, putrid blood was crusting around his wrists.
"You'll kill me before knowing the truth."
"The truth?" I shrugged. "It's been thousands of years. Why should I care about the truth? You survived. Someone made you a demon. Your body took the immortality." I winced as his skin took on a green hue. "Semi-well, it appears. And you've used what I can only assume is more immortal demon blood mixed with..." Ethan sniffed the air and shrugged. "Something else. To create." I paused and raised one eyebrow. "Am I missing anything?"
"Holy shit. Are you truly that dense?"
John cackled.
"All of you. This has been going on for centuries. Do you truly think..."
His eyes turned black.
"This is about you. There is a darkness coming."
His fangs elongated.
"A darkness that's been building. One you will not stop."
"Drain him," I ordered Ethan again, as my body trembled with the truth of his words. Eva had always warned me of the same thing, thousands of years ago. Impossible that it was now coming to pass.
"We were the first experiment,"
John kept talking.
"And look how well it went. Powerful beyond most of the demons we serve. Able to create on our own."
Ethan took two steps toward John and pressed his arm against the wall, slicing open his wrist with his teeth and moving to the next. John let out an animalistic scream as black blood dripped from the marks Ethan had made. Vampires had the ability to make the bite burn like hell. I had a suspicion Ethan hadn't held back. John writhed in agony.
"There are more of us. You have no idea how many more."
Ethan rolled his eyes. "Hate to break it to you, John, but even thousands of demons against us wouldn't be a fair fight." John laughed, his fangs digging into the bottom of his chin. I frowned and looked closer. Good Lord, the immortality had made his fangs double the size.
"Who said anything about demons?"
I held up my hand to Ethan, to keep him from taking more of John's blood. Already my strength was weakening. My head pounded from the exertion.
"What do you mean?"
Suddenly, John's head whipped to the side, and a blast of cool air hit me square in the chest, as his eyes went completely white.
"Oh, hell."
Ethan took a step back as the chains turned to ice, then fell to the floor. John collapsed in a heap, then stood as his body grew another 6 inches.
"Impossible."
My teeth chattered from the cold, as I took a cautious step backward.
"You aren't a dark one."
"No," John smiled.
"But I can call on his power."
"I'm the last one." He didn't need to know it was a lie.
"No,"
John said in a soft voice.
"I think not."
Before he could utter another word, Ethan was on John's back, slicing across his neck, decapitating him. The head landed on the dungeon floor with a thud and a sick splat as the body crumpled next to it. With swift movements, Ethan pulled the feather from his pocket and slid it into the vertebrae. Seconds later, John was nothing but dust. As a demon, it should be black. Vampires and sirens crystallized into small diamond-like dust, but dark ones always went red, a signal of the human blood flowing through their veins. The dust was both red and black. Ethan cursed.
"Cassius, I think we have a problem."
"The hell?" I leaned down and touched the dust.
"It's mixed."
Angry, I shook my head. "Did Stephanie..." I hated to accuse her, but it was the only explanation. "Did she give any of her blood to the demons?"
"Maybe you should ask her yourself." Stephanie said from the doorway. Would I betray those I love? Twice?
Chapter 24 Stephanie I was worried. Worried because Cassius had none of my blood left, and I didn't want him to face a crazed demon. Instead, the tables were turned back on me once I made my way down the stairs. Well, Ethan crossed his arms. Great to know you guys really trust me, I said sarcastically while my chest tightened. Cassius's face softened. You're the only other Dark One we know of in existence. And what, you think I'd just give over my blood to a sick, dirty little demon so he could use it? They both fell silent. Well, I crossed my arms. You're more than welcome to let Alex invade my thoughts, but I'm telling the truth. Damn it, Cassius muttered. It would be so much easier if you weren't. Pardon? Now I was really confused. I glanced down at the dust at Cassius's feet and gasped. Is that John?
John can't talk right now, Ethan said in a chipper voice. He was annoying the hell out of me, but his dust shouldn't be...
red, I finished. It should be black, mixed with flecks of gray, depending on how old he was, but red means he was given the blood of a Dark One.
Right.
Cassius stood and then fell back to his knees.
Damn this weak human vessel.
I pressed my lips together to keep from laughing. He sounded so medieval, looked it too, with his long black hair hanging nearly to his shoulders. His aristocratic face was too pretty to exist in this modern era. Come on, I lifted him into my arms. Bed.
And my shame is complete, he muttered as I carried him upstairs. A woman is carrying my weak body up the stairs as if I weigh nothing but a feather.
Less than that, actually.
Because that's ever so helpful to my pride.
Sorry.
Then why are you smiling?
You're cute when you pout.
Cute is the word humans use to describe things with fluffy tails. Hamsters. Pet birds. Hell, I've turned into your pet. Release me immediately.
Laughing, I carried him back into my room and set him on his feet. You're not my pet, but you are weak.
I tire of your compliments, he smirked. My pride cannot handle any more.
He fell toward me. Gripping his broad shoulders, I slowly lowered him back to the bed. You know, you only get one body. You better take care of it.
I...
Cassius yawned.
Despise humanity.
No, you don't, I answered quietly, bringing a blanket over his shoulders as tremors racked his body. You just need to rest.
I cannot rest until the mystery is solved, and I can't solve a mystery, train you, protect you, and love...
Love?
Food.
You weren't going to say food.
I'm sick. Cease your arguing.
He closed his eyes tight. I kissed his forehead, only to have him pull me close.
Stay.
Cassius whispered, his bluster spent.
When you're with me...
What?
I feel... happy.
He opened his eyes as if the concept had only just now occurred to him.
More than that, I feel complete.
My heart soared as I answered back, Me too. He pressed his hand to my neck, then pulled me in for a searing kiss, one that burned so hot against my lips I let out a gasp.
Damn, you taste good.
Because you're hot.
Attractive hot.
He pulled back, his eyes locking on mine with such heated intensity that it nearly took my breath away. I brushed a kiss across his lips. Still arrogant, even when he has a fever. Good to know.
My body is different.
Cassius's face fell.
But I find that my feelings are very much the same.
His head tilted as he cupped my face.
More confusing than ever.
Cassius, I leaned in until our mouths nearly touched. Why are you really here?
To train you.
The air twisted in front of me. It tasted bitter. With a smirk, I whispered, Lie. Cassius's mouth broke out into a blinding smile.
They taste different, don't they?
Bitter. Wrong, I nodded.
Because a lie spoken from your lips is a falsehood released into the universe, the atmosphere. A man's destiny is decided by what he speaks. And when he speaks a lie, creation cannot knit together the pieces correctly. The result is bitterness.
So why are you here? He was quiet, and then...
I'm here for you.
No bitterness in the air this time. To train me? He was quiet again. Cassius?
To love you.
I expected the air to shift. It didn't. My heart was pounding so wildly that blood roared through my system at a rapid pace, dropping the temperature in the room. And do you? I was almost afraid to ask, but I had to know. Do you love me?
Fear is never welcome. I can feel your trembling, Stephanie.
He avoided the question.
Fear makes us weak.
And love? What does love do?
It makes us both. Strong and weak, depending on which side you're on.
Answer the question, Cassius.
I find I've suddenly developed some of that fear I'm always so easily dismissing.
Afraid of what? My reaction? My response?
All of the above.
His fingers threaded through my hair.
Everything about you terrifies this human body, to be sure. Words don't just create, they have the power to destroy. To level a city with one simple phrase. The words of a dark one, even more so.
Well, then one of us will have to be brave, I encouraged.
Yes, one of us will.
He smiled, his eyes crinkling at the sides. Was he already getting wrinkles? And why was his body failing him so readily, so easily? I love you, I blurted. I've loved you for as long as I can remember. And I'll continue loving until time ceases to matter, to exist. Cassius crushed his mouth against mine, then pulled back.
I love you more than I should. I love you in ways I shouldn't. I desire you in ways that are hard to comprehend. And the love I feel for you is the scariest thing I've ever admitted out loud to anyone. Because once those words are released, you can't take them back. You could try. But love weaves a thread of its own, and once you confess with your mouth, your soul has no choice but to follow.
My breathing slowed, nearly stopped altogether. Who knew you were so romantic?
More like who knew that as a human I'd be so capable of telling the truth rather than lying.
You'd rather lie to me.
Absolutely. Lying is less scary. Honesty will always be terrifying. I've discovered I'm like a cat.
I pressed my lips together to keep from bursting out laughing. How are you like a cat, exactly?
The scaredy cats.
He frowned.
Is that wrong?
Not at all. I covered his hands with mine. They were still burning up. Tell me this feels good. He leaned back against the pillows, his shirt inching up to show me an expansive area of lean abdominal muscles.
It feels more than good. I could lay in your cold forever.
Funny, most people hate the cold. His eyes flashed open.
Cold is life.
What do you mean?
The earth.
His eyebrows pinched together.
The source of life is not heat, nor is it cold. It is the perfect balance of both. Without one, the other ceases to exist. The cold you bring reminds me of the way things work, the balance that must always be kept.
His eyes closed again. I wanted him. Possessiveness washed over me. Not in a way that I'd ever experienced before, but in a primal surge of energy that I couldn't ignore as my heartbeat slowed in my chest, my eyes zeroed in on his neck. Mine. His humanity called to me. His love beckoned me.
There are two ways to mark a human.
His words came to mind.
Force your will upon them.
Cassius?
Hmm?
He didn't open his eyes. I leaned forward and cupped his neck with my right hand, My palm rested against his hot skin. I'm sorry.
For?
Doing something that's forbidden. I closed my eyes and forced my will on him, but rather than forcing him into slavery, into a typical hero worship, I gave him my love. I showed him my feelings. Opened up my heart and soul to the man who'd stolen my heart as an immortal, only to give it back as a human. He was my everything. And I refused to let another moment go by without anyone knowing, without the world knowing, that we belong together. Even if it killed me. With a cry of pain, he screamed beneath my touch, and shards of light spread throughout the room. And then, with a burst of white, Cassius's skin went from hot to frigid. His eyes rolled to the back of his head and then turned completely white. He reached for me just as I reached for him. With one graze of his finger against the blanket, it evaporated into thin air, the clothes between us suddenly gone as if he'd willed them to disappear. Like slow motion, the frigid air danced around us and then stopped. Time was gone. The world around us was black. Nothingness. Only Cassius and I existed. Eyes still white, his body returned to its godlike state right before my eyes, as his hair went from black to red and then back again. His skin was perfection itself, a dizzying myriad of tiny little crystals, smooth, golden.
Stephanie.
His words came out with a godlike echo, shaking the foundation of my entire body as he reached for me and kissed me so hard that my lips hurt. But it was a hurt that craved more. Cassius. I sucked in the air between our mouths. It tasted like sugar. He wrapped an arm around me, reminding me again of my nakedness, then pressed me against a soft surface. Were we still in my bedroom? I had no sense of minutes. Hours. It was as if the world had stopped in order for us to have our moment together.
I will love you.
His voice shook.
Forever.
Cassius pressed his lips to mine and then cupped my neck as a shot of pure ice went from his palm into my veins.
Mine.
Every thought he'd ever had was mine. Every moment of darkness, too. I wanted to scream as I held Eva in my arms, as I watched her age. The sheer agony of that moment nearly destroyed my will to exist. The scenes of people dying, screaming for justice. The stench of death was all around. The darkness was impossible to escape. I wanted to run, but something wrapped around my feet. Thick, large, black tentacles tightened around my ankles as a raspy voice whispered,
"Watch."
Thousands of stars in the sky suddenly went dark. And then the earth followed as an ominous darkness crept across the planet, slowly inching its way into every single available space. "No," I cried. "No!" And then, as if someone heard my call, a piercing light broke through the dark cloud. Feathers followed. So many purple feathers. More blood was spilled as I tried to move, to join the fight. Cassius led the armies against humans, against darkness itself, against the demons who refused to be ruled by an immortal king. Ethan was at his side, slicing his way through demon after demon. Timber led the demon forces. I shouldn't have been surprised. He was an ancient type of evil.
"Eva!" Cassius yelled. "Take cover!"
She sped out of the way, then sliced the back of the demon's knees. He fell to the ground as black blood spewed out of his mouth. And just like that, I watched Cassius and Eva lead an army of five, including them, against 10,000. The darkness of the demons constantly called to Cassius, and as the war raged on, clearly it was wearing on him as light left his face. But every time it did, Eva pulled him back, telling him how good he was, what he was capable of, and the shadows on his face would recede. The demons, all destroyed but a few hundred. Sariel fell from the sky, landing on his feet so hard that an earthquake took out another 100 demons.
"Do you concede victory?"
They put down their swords while Cassius clenched his. He wanted to kill the remaining.
"What good are they?"
he spat, arguing with Sariel.
"They are the very evil you wish us to exterminate, yet you let them live." "I do not allow anything," Sariel said softly. "It is not my call to make. In order for light to exist, we must also have dark. There will always be a need for balance."
With that, he left, and the darkness continued to assault Cassius. With a roar, he raised his hands and screamed,
"Silence!"
The demons cowered behind timber.
"Cross me again," Cassius spat, "and I will tear you limb by limb, then remove every last drop of life from your pathetic body."
Timber laughed.
"I'd like to see you try."
The demons had lost that day. Or had they? Suddenly someone was grabbing my hand. I refused to look away as Timber made his way toward me.
"Well, well, well. Interesting. I did not think you would share such memories."
"You can see me?" He nodded. "But this is a memory."
"Of an event you are reliving through your dear Cassius. Yes, I know."
Timber sheathed his black jeweled sword.
"In all the times he's relived this memory, he has never brought you."
Timber clapped his hands while I felt like clobbering him in the face or turning him to ice.
"He's made it too easy, exposing his cards so soon."
Timber leaned forward and whispered in my ear,
"Until next time, Angel."
Chapter 25. Cassius. Watching my life through her eyes was painful. Almost as painful as her palm against my neck. The woman had mocked me, and I was still alive, no longer fully human, but returned to my Dark One's state. Was it truly that easy, that all she needed to do was love me back, and with that love mark me? Would Sariel make it a riddle that had been in my power the entire time? Stephanie's eyes returned to blue. She huddled against me, still naked as tremors racked her body. "That was completely irresponsible," I teased, feeling lighter than I had in my entire existence. Because for the first time in my miserable life, I was sharing the weight of the darkness with someone who had never experienced it before. Stephanie shuddered and pulled me closer. "A little warning next time." I kissed her. I couldn't help it. Our kiss shook the air in the room, as tiny little pieces of ice formed around my fingertips, encircling our fingers, linking our hands together. Her body moved beneath mine, as her lips danced across my mouth. I'd never taken my pleasure with another immortal, only with humans, who later died in agony, at the loss of being near me. Several of them simply gave up. The last one, 100 years ago, had jumped off a bridge. It was the last time I'd allowed my own carnal pleasures to destroy an innocent life. Until Genesis. Until I figured it was my duty to try to mate with a human, to bring about the end of the curse. Only to realize within days of knowing her, that she was never mine to have, never would be. And that, even a woman as beautiful as Genesis, could never fill the gaping hole Stephanie's absence had made in my life. "Make love to me." Stephanie's body twisted underneath mine for dominance, as she pushed against my chest, then pinned me to the bed. Chuckling, I drew the shape of a heart across her chest,
my fingers etching an icy trail as they danced across her fair skin. Stephanie's breath hitched as her eyes flashed white. "Like that?" I asked. She nodded. "But that's not what I meant. So you don't want me drawing hearts all over your delicious body until you beg me to stop?" She hesitated. I laughed. "I've never seen you laugh this much." Her smile was bright. I sobered, kissing her again, tasting her. I've never had reason until now. With great care, I lifted her into my arms, wrapping her legs around me as I kissed down her neck. She gasped when my tongue slid between her breasts, moving downward until the angle forced me to stop. "This is..." She shook her head as the light above us shattered into a million tiny pieces, blanketing us in darkness. Our eyes glowed at one another. "Too much all at once. I wish I could tell you what to expect, but I've never been mated before," I answered, my body craving more of her kisses, more of her touch, just more of everything. "You're stuck with me now," she laughed against my mouth. "Basically married." I nodded, then swirled my finger against her ring finger, as a beautiful crystal diamond appeared wrapping itself in icy tendrils, all the way up to her fingertip. I shopped for hours. Stephanie examined the ring. "Yes, I can see that. Great detail on the diamond and those rose petals around it." "Eyes closed the whole time," I whispered. "Keep them open." She cupped my face. "I missed you." I frowned. "I've been here the whole time." "You've been missing half of your true self," she answered. "And now, you're whole. Because of you. Because of my selfishness." "That too, though it sounds less romantic that way. More needy." She pinched me in the shoulder, but it didn't hurt. "Now that we've gotten all the technicalities out of the way," I motioned to a ring. "I'm going to make love to you." "Okay." Her eyes brightened. And then, I brushed a kiss across her lips. "I'm going to do it again." Without giving her a chance to respond, I molded my mouth to hers, my hands sliding down every inch of her body, as if it was made for my touch, my every caress. I never thought, never imagined I'd be allowed the privilege of loving another woman, of mating with an equal. My hands shook as they rested against her hips. Had my face not been frozen from emotion, I imagined tears would have found their place on my cheeks, proof of the undeniable love I felt for her, and gratefulness I had for the situation. Stephanie rocked her hips against me, as she tangled her hands in my hair. Each kiss was met with desperation, returned with aggression, and repeated. Our bodies slid against one another, as I took my time exploring every part of her I dared not touch before our mating, mouth watering with the need to taste. I pressed her back onto the bed and began my wicked descent from her chin down to her feet, stopping at each and every space in between, making my mark permanent as I bit and covered her skin with my mouth. Stephanie's moans only encouraged me further. The sound of ice breaking didn't even deter me from licking my way back up her body, careful to make sure I didn't miss any important spot or angle at which I could give her pleasure. Her thoughts were my own as she screamed, "There!" Only it was in her head, not aloud. "Better?" I'd ask, only to have her nod her encouragement. I was able to pleasure her before she even asked. With an eager lift, I had her on her stomach, realizing I had only pleasured her front, only made love to parts of her and left the other parts pressed against the damn mattress.
"Cassius, what are you doing?"
"Touching," I answered simply. "Biting." Her pert ass jerked as I ran my hand down its curve. "Learning,"
With a deep moan, she relaxed against my hand, as it pressed against her hip, and slid between her legs.
I don't think...
Good, I interrupted. Don't think. It's extremely unhealthy to think in a dark one's presence. Who knows? Thoughts swirled around her head of me touching her, pleasuring her. What a dark one may do with those thoughts. I fired back more thoughts of my own, my mouth covering every one of the spots she pointed out, until she screamed so loud the room shook. I guess he may do that. I moved my hand, then flipped her over again. Or he may do this. I sent her images of what I would do right before I did it, doubling her pleasure, making her slick with sweat, only to have it evaporate within seconds. But this, I whispered, envisioning my mouth on her core. This, I think you will like best. She whimpered before each movement of my tongue only to cry out after. And suddenly my vision turned to her pleasuring me. I could barely keep my composure.
Two, she panted, can play that game.
I adore games. I fired back with a wicked laugh. In the vision I entered her hard and fast, only to go slow that the air around us exploded. Care to play one or two? I have time.
Cassius, I swear.
No swearing. I pulled her to her feet and pushed her against the wall. Her back was to me as I pressed up behind her. You can always end the game. Concede the winner.
Never.
Too bad. The vision shifted as I kissed around her neck, while I kept her pinned to the wall.
Fine, she yelled. Just please... Please, Cassius.
With a growl, I turned her around just as she jumped into my arms. We staggered back against the wall, and then fell to the floor in a heap of arms and legs as she straddled my body, then moved against me. Our white eyes locked, and a knowing smirk crossed her face. Oh, yes. Being human had been worth it. For this, I would serve a sentence of 1,000 years. For one night with my true mate? Perhaps 1,000,000.
Yes,
she hovered over me, slowly allowing me to enter her. Stephanie's slow movements nearly killed me, as I lingered between ecstasy and greediness. I moved faster and faster, gripping her hips, holding her in place, as the air between us cracked and sliced like lightning in the sky. I moved tentatively, and she matched the movement. But the slowness was destroying me. So I imagined us against the wall, and there we were, against the wall. Using it to my advantage, I pressed her back against it, and moved her body in perfect cadence to my heartbeat. To hers, only to have her explode around me. Tiny pieces of crystals exploded in front of my face, as the air stilled. Slowly, I dropped her to her feet. We stared at one another, both exerted. The darkness surrounded us, but we were light.
Chapter 26. Stephanie. I should be exhausted. Instead, it felt like someone had just zapped me with adrenaline. It was an odd sort of balance to experience a beautiful moment with Cassius, only to have it dampened by the darkness that being mated to him had unlocked. It crept. Like a slow, choking blanket. It tempted, told me that if I'd just give in to the evil side of myself, I'd be complete. And then Cassius would smile in my direction and bring me back. How long had he been trying to exist like this, constantly battling the innermost, darkest parts of himself, alone?
A very long time, he answered. Eva helped.
I would have liked her, I think. I led Cassius back to the bed. We both lay down and stared at one another.
She was strong.
Cassius touched his fingers to my face.
Like you.
I kissed his fingertips. The door burst open. Ethan stood there with Mason on one side, Alex on the other, and Genesis in the back trying to peek over their shoulders.
"The hell!" Ethan roared. "What did you guys do to my house?"
For the first time since we'd laid down, I glanced around the darkened room. All of the lights were completely shattered. The walls were lined with ice, the window was completely frosted over, and the walls had cracks running up and down them as if an earthquake had occurred. "We, had a..." I elbowed Cassius. "Fight."
"Is he dead?"
Mason wondered aloud.
"What I mean to say is, did he survive this, ordeal?"
"Yes. Did the king last his first bout of lovemaking, or shall I call the time of death?"
Alex joked. Cassius swore under his breath, then, in an instant, rose to his full, scary, 7-foot height and glared down at them. Ethan and Mason took a cautious step back while Alex stood there with a stupid grin on his face.
"So, sex heals all, hmm?"
"I made myself a promise, Alex. Care to know what it was?"
"Sex before you're old as hell anatomy falls off?"
he guessed. Cassius's grin widened.
"I think I'll enjoy this."
With a wave of his hand, Alex's voice was gone.
"Frozen voice box. It may take a few hours to thaw, if it ever does."
Alex's eyes widened. "But all sirens have are their voices and good looks," Genesis argued from her spot in the hall. Cassius's eyes softened.
"Perhaps he'll learn to choose his words more wisely in the future, then."
Alex stomped out of the room while Cassius faced everyone.
"It seems that I am restored."
"How?"
Ethan's eyes narrowed.
"Sariel took pity on your weakness."
"More like..."
Cassius glanced back at me.
"I accomplished what I was sent to do as a human, and he restored me."
"She's trained."
Ethan nodded, seemingly impressed.
"Fantastic."
"Yes," I lied, and the air immediately turned bitter while Cassius laughed inside my head. "But it might be good to get a few more sessions in this evening, just in case."
"And by sessions you mean..."
Ethan pointed between the two of us.
"Never mind. Don't tell me."
He raised his hands above his head.
"If you tell me, the mental image will permanently ruin my existence."
Genesis sighed behind him. "That's so romantic, though, don't you think? That they're finally together?" A sudden wind whistled along the hall and swirled into the room.
"Sweet hell,"
Ethan muttered as Cassius tossed clothes in my direction. The air had shifted. "What?" I glanced around the room. "What's wrong?"
"Angels,"
Mason spat.
"Or just one in particular. Seems he's paying us a visit. Damn it, I only set the table for 6. If he wants ham, he's shit out of luck."
"Yes, because I'm sure that's what's on his mind,"
Cassius hissed.
"Ham. Says the one who tried to chase a blue jay with his pitchfork."
"I had no pitchfork."
"Yes, a lament I'm quite familiar with."
Mason rolled his eyes.
"If only I had a pitchfork, a bow and arrow, a gun, I could hunt my own meat. Thank God your appetite will disappear. I was afraid the goldfish was next."
Cassius shared a glance with me.
"We have goldfish."
"Goldfish," Genesis laughed. "Mason likes to see how long he can keep them alive."
"So they've died before?"
Cassius asked. "It's not like he revives them, just buys more." Genesis shrugged. "Now you both need..." She glanced down and coughed. "Clothes." Ethan was already stomping down the hall, most likely making Sariel aware that his sudden presence in his house wasn't welcome. "Cassius?" He turned, his muscles rippling beneath his simple black t-shirt. As a human, it had fit him perfectly. As an immortal, it was almost like his muscles were straining to break free. Give him a cape and he'd be able to star in the next Avengers movie, no problem. "It's about Alex. Look, I know he drives you crazy, he drives everyone crazy, but since Sariel is here, can you just unfreeze him with your Dark One's mojo? Cassius tilted his head, a look of complete seriousness crossed his face.
Mojo?
You know. I lifted my hand in the air and twisted as power swirled my fingertips. When you do that...
You have the power to do it, too.
I do. I twirled my hand again, my fingertips heavy as if something needed to release from them. Cassius crossed his arms.
Will it?
I closed my eyes and flicked my wrist, willing Alex to speak again.
Son of a bitch!
Alex's voice erupted from downstairs. Think it worked? I laughed. Alex cursed so loudly I was surprised Sariel didn't silence him forever.
A bit too well.
Cassius held out his hand.
Now let's go face Sariel.
I sighed. You think he's going to be angry? Cassius didn't answer right away.
I think that I often underestimate Sariel.
Is that good or bad?
I never know.
Cassius led me down the stairs.
Until the exact moment it happens.
Chapter 27 Cassius. He was going to be angry. I knew it in the way the tense air pumped around me, fanned, as if Sariel's feathers were flapping against the air. Assaulting would be a more accurate word. I clutched Stephanie's hand as we entered the kitchen. Had Sariel's face not been void of any sort of happy emotion or amusement, it would have been funny, seeing an angel seated at the kitchen table, tapping his rather large fingertips against the wood table, only to get agitated and take a sip of coffee, then shiver, as if the taste not only repulsed him, but offended every fiber of his being. Purple and blue feathers shuddered, as if they too experienced the taste of the coffee and found it lacking. Mason's jaw ticked as he braced himself against the counter, his muscles bulging with the need to fight and protect his family. The only family the wolf had. What a sad, mismatched bunch. What a weird world. To live in a world where the wolf's pack consisted of sirens, dark ones, and vamps. Mason's eyes flashed to mine, before his fingernails dug into the granite countertops, leaving little marks of agitation before the oven made a loud ding. Sariel's eyes jerked to attention, locking with mine. I smirked. Staying for dinner? It smells. His nose curled up. Like meat. Mason let out a loud, aggressive snort. It's ham. I don't care to eat animals. Alex plopped down next to Sariel in an entirely too careless manner.
Hear that, Mason? He's not going to eat you.
Another growl erupted from the kitchen as Mason started tossing around pots and pans, purposely slamming them against the granite so they made a loud noise. His thoughts were just as loud, but I chose to ignore them. Shutting off what I knew wasn't my cross to bear. To listen in on Mason's thoughts was to experience raw pain over and over again. There was never a pause in his emotions, in the bleeding of his soul. The only balm in his otherwise dark life was Genesis, proven yet again when she quietly joined him in the kitchen, pressing her hand against his. Light burst, pushing its way through his dark, morose thoughts, calming the beast inside as they continued working in silence. Interesting. Sariel's eyes narrowed in on them. Clearly he noticed the same exchange. Why are you here? I pulled out a chair, and all but shoved Stephanie into it, then managed to push it away so that I was between her and Sariel, exactly where I needed to be. I think you know why. His voice held a raw, destructive edge, as his eyes flashed white. The blue and purple feathers shuddered red, before returning back to the violet hues. I made eye contact with Ethan, as he moved himself between Genesis and Sariel, and stood directly behind the angel,
ready to make a move if I needed him to, ready to commit an unfathomable crime in order to not only protect his mate, but mine. I'd underestimated his friendship greatly. To kill an angel is inviting a soulless existence. Death.